Today's word comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to deserted places by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to heaven and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need to not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "You have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord.
This is a familiar story, right? We know it like the back of our hands. There's a big crowd. Jesus teaches. He heals. It gets late. The disciples say, "Let's get these folks out of here so they can go get something to eat." And instead, Jesus says, "You feed them." And 5 loaves and 2 fish later, the multitude is fed. That's it, right? End of story. Nice, neat little story, and we move on, right? Except that there's more here than meets the eye. So open up God's word, whatever way you would like to do that, whether it's the Bible in the pew racks or your Bible app, or maybe you brought your own Bible. Open it up to Matthew 14, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And let's take a look at this story that is one of few in Scripture that's in all 4 of the Gospels. And as we look at this story today, this miracle, I want you to keep one question kind of in the forefront of your mind. I want you to think about this story and what you may have done with it. What have you done with the loaves and the fish that you have? Each version of this story in the Gospels is a little bit different. Matthew starts out like this, if you look in verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there. And the "there" is Capernaum. That was kind of his home base for ministry. He withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place. Now, when Jesus heard this, and the "this" is the news that John the Baptist has been beheaded by Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, the same Herod that tried to kill Jesus when he was a child. It's a father-son duo there. This is awful news for Jesus because John was his cousin. When Mary, Jesus' mother, was overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, discovered she was pregnant, where did she go? To John's mother, Elizabeth, who was also pregnant with John. They spent 6 months together. It was John the Baptist who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. It was John the Baptist, his cousin, who pointed at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It was John the Baptist who is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy about a voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." John's death was painful for Jesus. It was also a reminder to him that his death wasn't very far away. And so Jesus took his disciples and they tried to get away. The disciples hadn't been back very long. Jesus had sent them out. He'd given them the power to heal and to cast out demons. And they had come back and he wanted to hear what they had done. It was a great time of teaching for Jesus and the disciples. And not only that, but Jesus was tired. Because everywhere he went, people were pressing in on him all the time. So what we see in the very beginning of this lesson is a very human, very tired, grieving Jesus. But when we look at verse 13, Matthew tells us the crowds followed him. It's not that they all got in boats and there was this big flotilla. No, they ran around the lake. Some of them, the Gospel of John tells us, got to where Jesus was going before he did. And the Gospel of John's telling of this story, John tells us that the bulk of the crowd was there because they had seen the signs that Jesus had done with the sick. They'd seen him heal people. They'd seen miracles. They were there for the show. What might Jesus do next? What crazy miracle might he do today? It's as though Jesus and his ministry was all the latest rage. It was the next best thing. If they'd been meeting in a house, it would have been looked at as the church of what's happening now. So here came all of these people to Jesus. He knew their hearts. He knew that most of them were there to see what he would do next. And yet, Matthew tells us he had compassion on them. If you read this story in the Gospel of Mark, Mark tells us that they looked like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus began to teach, and he healed their sick. And that word there in the Greek for sick means those who are strengthless. In other words, they had absolutely no way to get to where Jesus was on their own. It would have taken their friends, their family, a combination of that, to get these people who were sick, who were strengthless, helpless, to where Jesus was so they had a chance of being healed. And all of a sudden, we move from this very human, tired, grieving Jesus to a very divine Jesus who's now healing, teaching, and ultimately, he will feed this crowd. There weren't many places to get away in Galilee. By some estimates, there were at least 200 towns and villages in the region of Galilee, which isn't a very big region. If we look at the tail end of today's reading, we see that this crowd wasn't just made up of men. Verse 21 tells us there were also women and children in this crowd. And there are many who look at this and they estimate that this crowd was upwards of 20,000 people. This is no small gathering here. This isn't like a neighborhood barbecue. This is a ton of people, a ton of mouths, a ton of bread, a lot of holy mackerel. And it appears that Jesus spent the bulk of the day teaching and healing. And he did so, when we look at verse 15, he did so in a place that was deserted. In other words, they were out in the tulies. They're in the middle of nowhere. And Jesus is teaching and he's healing. And it's getting late. It's evening. The Jews had two evenings in their day. The first was from 3 to 6, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the beginning of the first evening, was when they offered the evening sacrifice in the temple. It was still light out. People were still scurrying about. The second evening was from 6 to 9, and after 9 then, it was considered night. Matthew's talking here about that first evening The time period from 3 to 6. A time when it was still light, the people could have seen to go into the surrounding villages and towns and go to a shop or a place where they could find food to eat. But John, in his telling of this, gives us one more tidbit of information that Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't. John tells us that Jesus saw this crowd, this multitude, and before he even started teaching, before he had healed anyone, he had separated Philip out, motioned him over, and said, "How are we going to buy bread enough to feed all these people?" Can you imagine? Here's Philip watching these people come and more and more and more. And Jesus is asking him how we're going to feed these people. His eyes must have been as big as saucers. It was a test, John tells us. Apparently an all-day test for Philip. But Philip was from the area. He would have known the places to go, the best places to buy food, the best places to go and eat. But remember, this is a test. It was as though Jesus said to Philip, "Okay, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to teach, and I'm going to heal. You're in charge of catering this event." And so Philip's mind is boggled, and he goes to the rest of the disciples, and he says, "Guys, we got to figure out a way to feed all of these people." And they racked their brains all day long trying to figure out how in heaven's name they are going to feed all these people. And they're trying to do it in their own power. In their own power. Think about how much power we have and how much we do not have. And here they are, scratching their heads. Jesus had them exactly where he wanted them. They puzzled all day. How are we going to feed these people? And the best answer they could come up with, you heard Lacey read it, send them away. We aren't going to feed them. We don't know what to do with them. Send them away. We do that sometimes, don't we? We don't know what to do with this. Pass it along. Let somebody else take care of it. When you look at verse 16, after they've said to Jesus, send them away, Jesus says, uh-uh. They don't have to go away. You give them something to eat. And that's when we hear the cacophony, don't we, of the disciples' voices. But Jesus, there's no way that we could possibly feed all of these people. All we have are these 200 denarii, 200 days' wages. It would have been a drop in the bucket to feed these people. What we don't hear the disciples thinking is that, and not only that, but if we give all of our money, then we don't have any for ourselves. It's going to take everything we have. We get that way too sometimes, don't we? I can't possibly give. If I do, I might not have enough for me. You see, we don't look a whole lot different than the disciples. They didn't trust Jesus with what they had. They didn't trust that if they gave this to Jesus, that something amazing would happen in return. We find ourselves in the same position sometimes, don't we? I can't possibly give. I won't have enough for the things that I want, for the things that I need. And then, in the midst of all of that, here comes Andrew. And whether it's tongue-in-cheek or whether he's serious, he says, "Hey, look what I got. I found this kid, he had a sack lunch. We have 5 whole little barley loaves and 2 scrawny fish." That's it. They're frustrated. They're tired. And they can't see the power that's standing right there in front of them. What they've really said to Jesus is this: we haven't got it, and we don't know how to get it. Because you see, if this was just about Jesus feeding this multitude of people, he could have raised his eyes towards the heavens and said food, and it would have rained down food just like manna and quail. But this isn't just about Jesus feeding a multitude of people. This is about way more than that. It's about trusting Jesus with what we have, giving it to him, standing back and watching what he might do. And so he said to Andrew, bring me what you do have. Okay. These barley loaves, some scholars believe, might actually have been like crackers. So we're talking even less than there would be if it was a loaf of bread. Bring what you do have to me. That isn't just an invitation for the disciples. That's an invitation for you and I as well, to bring Jesus what we have. Our loaves, our fish, our 200 denarii. Bring me what you have. But we're afraid, aren't we? If we bring you what we have, Jesus, what's left for us? I'm not sure I can spare anything right now, except that God does amazing things with what we bring to him. We know that this happened in the spring of the year. John's gospel tells us it was the season of Passover. When we look in verse 19, we see that there's grass there, green grass. Jesus commands the crowds to sit down in the grass in groups of 50, in groups of 100. And I picture, as I'm in my mind's eye looking at these crowds of people sitting down, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What we see is a picture of the one who provides for our needs. One who loves us enough to keep tending to us, but one who also loves us enough to challenge us, to stretch us, to ask us to grow, to trust. This is one of the biggest picnics ever. And Jesus takes these seven things, 5 loaves of bread, 2 scrawny fish. Verse 19, and he lifts his eyes towards heaven. And he prays, perhaps this prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Jesus gives thanks to God for what he has. And at that point, it's precious little. He gives thanks. You'll notice there's no fanfare. There's no trumpets playing, no angels zipping around. There were no earthquakes. Jesus simply gives thanks for what he has. And he begins to break the bread and the fish, right? And he gives it to the disciples to give to the people so that they can eat. Just like that. And what did the people receive? Did they just get one bite? Maybe two? No. Because our God is a God of abundance. He's a God of generosity. Look at verse 20. Matthew tells us they ate until they were full. Until they had had their fill. Until they were satisfied. The word here is chartazo. It's actually an animal husbandry word. It's a picture of an animal with its head in the trough or its head in the feed bag, being able to eat until it is full. They ate and they were satisfied. They're all foddered up, if you will. It's like Thanksgiving Day. You know the feeling, right? You eat until you're satisfied and then it's time for dessert. That's God's abundant provision. But the thing about God is He doesn't waste miracles. Look at verse 20. After everyone had eaten their fill, what happened? The disciples walk amongst the crowds and they pick up the leftovers, 12 baskets full. Each one of the disciples got a basket full for themselves. They too could eat until they were satisfied. God is generous. Everybody gets all they wanted. Everybody was stuffed. God doesn't dole out blessings a little bit at a time. Our God is a God of abundant generosity. Give me what you have, he says, and watch what I will do with it. Give me your loaves and fish. Give me your denarii. But did you notice that when the disciples walked through the crowds and they picked up the leftovers, there were 12 baskets? Each of the disciples got one. Who didn't have one? Jesus didn't have a basket, did he? He provided for everyone else. And now what he's trying to teach the disciples is that he wants them to share of what they have with him. That's what he wants from us. He's provided for us. He wants us to share of what we have with him. He doesn't want it all. He just wants some of it. He gives to us. We return to him. If you were here last week, you heard Pastor Matt say that if we live in this country, we are prosperous. There are those among us that have a tendency to stop at a place like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or Dutch Brothers or maybe Circle K on the way to where we're going in the morning to buy our jolt of caffeine. Most of us spend on that drink more than 3/4 of the world lives on in a day. We are indeed prosperous. He asks that we share our loaves and fish. Because you see, God wants to provide for people, but he wants to do it through us. Jesus took the bread and fish. Look at verse 19. He took the bread and the fish and he broke it. And what did he do? He gave it to the disciples to give to the people. The disciples stood between Jesus and the multitude. And now you and I stand between Jesus and the people that need help. Not to keep them away from Jesus, but to be the conduit that Jesus uses to bless other people. And so we start with what we have, whether it be a little or whether it be a lot. And we give back to him. The boy with the sack lunch was willing to share. Maybe Andrew said, the Lord has need of it. We don't know the conversation that went on. But can you imagine what happened when that young boy got home that night? Mom, Dad, you are never going to believe what happened today. Mom, that lunch you packed me, those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, Jesus, I gave it to Jesus. And he fed like 1 million people with it. We're called to obey, to be obedient. Jesus commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. And he gave to his disciples to give to them. You see, when we serve him, it's important for us to remember that we aren't in the manufacturing department. We are in the distribution division. If we give what we have to him, he will bless it and return it more than we had. He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. Pastor John held up that yellow sheet at the beginning of the service. When you give to Jesus here, 11% of what we receive goes right back out. We become that conduit that stands between Him and those who are in need. And the cool thing is, when we give to Jesus, He continues to bless us. We give and He blesses us and gives in return. And we end up with more than we had, which means we can give Him more and He will bless it and return it to us. And there's even more. And that cycle just continues on and on. Here's one more thing about this story, this miracle. It isn't necessarily related to giving. But this isn't just some ho-hum, oh, look what Jesus did this time. Miracle. This is a head-scratching, excuse me, He did what? Well, yeah, we were in this deserted place and it was late and we were hungry and yeah, but what did you tell me He did? Well, He took this kid's lunch. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 scrawny fish and He fed us, and all of us had enough to eat, and there were leftovers. What? Who does this? Matthew wants us to see this miracle and say, holy smokes, this is the hand of God at work. This is the Son of God incarnate in the flesh, moved into the neighborhood. God, Emmanuel, this miracle is visible. It's tangible. It's even edible. And it points us directly at what Jesus will do with what we give Him. He's provided for those people's needs. He provides for our needs. And we say, so what's the big deal? Why should we give? Because Jesus has asked us to. He's asked us to give part of what He's given us back to Him. Why should we give? We've been blessed. We have been incredibly, richly blessed. Why give? You know what? It's kind of fun to see what God does with what we give Him. Why? Because when we give, we get to be a part of something that's so much bigger than us. We get to touch lives we never in a million years would have gotten to touch if we hadn't joined forces with others and given back to Jesus a portion of what He has given us. Why give? It's important. It's important for this world to see the hand of God at work through you, through me, in what we have given, in the service that we do, in the way that we live. I give thanks to God that He has chosen me, that He has chosen us to give and to make a difference. Amen.